Turn to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19, let us read verse number 14. If you took time to look at the board on the back today, you see the Worship Reignited banner and have put the topics or the things that we have already covered on there, plus the ones we're going to cover today. So if you were observant, you already know what we're going to talk about tonight, just by process of elimination. And it's found here in Psalm chapter 19, just reading here, verse number 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Again, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We closed last week's Sunday evening message, which was focused on the principle of intimacy as it relates to worship, by stating the fact, a desire of my heart, was to have such intimacy with my wife that we were not just on the same page, not just in the same paragraph or on the same sentence, but yet we would be on the same word, even the same syllable, as we go about life and as we relate to one another. And that certainly is the desire of my heart. But it cannot and will not take place without communication. And that's what David is talking about here in verse number 14. He says, let the words of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. He's talking about how he himself communicates with God. And if we ever expect or if we ever desire to get to the place where we are able to fully, holy, and in a godly manner worship Him, we must think about and we must master our communication with God. Now, as it has related to the subject of intimacy or to the subject of intentionality in worship, we have mentioned the subject of communication over the last couple of weeks and have said during that time or touched on its importance. But we want to examine it more closely tonight as it relates to our ability to worship God as we have the call, as we have the desire, and as we have the opportunity to here in the slide. Now, as we noticed this morning, there is the private, personal, spontaneous worship that happens every day of our life, or should. And then, of course, the congregational worship as we assemble together, or scheduled worship as we come together as a body. Now, both kinds of worship that we involve ourselves in must be prefaced or must be supported by communication or good communication with the Lord. As we have touched on it, as we have thought about it, as we have brought it out already, as we apply the subject of communication to our earthly relationships, we find that our earthly relationships really rise and fall with how we communicate. They will either be as good or as bad as the work we put in to communicating of who and what we are to the other person in that relationship. And really, all of our relationships suffer because of poor communication habits. And the thing that we need to understand right away is that this is not something that we cannot do. Now, granted, there are some that are predisposed to being skilled at communicating, and there are some that are not, but that does not mean that it is beyond the scope of our ability. God has gifted us with a wonderful, wonderful thing that He did not give to the rest of His creation. He has given man the gift of language. He has given man the gift to be able to verbally, audibly, and understandably express the innermost thoughts of his heart. Now we know that in the animal kingdom, even in the plant kingdom, there is expression of beauty. There's expression of desire that is done through body language or that is done through noise and through other things. And we have that too. But God has given us something even greater. And that is the wonderful gift of language. And so we thank God for that. Without that gift of language, we would struggle to know who God is. And our thoughts tonight are not based upon His communication to us. We have looked at that before. We studied that some weeks ago when we looked at the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God's expression of Himself to us, the Word of God in Jesus Christ, the Word of God that is before us tonight, God communicates to us. Further, we know that He communicates to us, as it tells us in Romans 8, as His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. There is always direct, open, honest communication from God unto us. It is never hindered. It is never limited. It is never cut off because God, because of God. Sometimes it is because of we limit it in our own life because of sin. But that communication is always there. God is always open to us in it. And we need to be better at it, to be frank, in every part of our life. We are poor communicators for the most part. We live in an age where it is supposedly easier to use the language that God has given us to express ourselves or to communicate with others. I mean, we can instantly at our fingertips be able to speak to someone wherever they are in the world by a text or by video or if you're real old fashioned by email, anymore and that sort of thing. We have that ability and we can do that instantly, but the reality is we don't. We don't like to communicate. We don't like to bear ourselves open and connect with another individual. This, of course, relates very closely to intimacy and certainly is something that we all need to be better at. For all this opportunity, we're really not communicating with each other, certainly not what we need to be doing in this life. When we fail to put in the effort and the work that it takes to communicate as we should, our relationships suffer, don't they? They really do. When we fail to connect, you know, that's what this being intentional in worship, that's what intimacy, that's what communication really, it is all at the root of connecting. Connecting with God, and we're also applying it to our earthly relationships on Sunday nights because there is so much that we can learn and apply there. It's about connecting. We don't do that. We don't like that. We like to keep everybody at an arm's distance. We all should be able to recognize this bad habit in our life, see how it affects our relationships. So often we speak in platitudes. So often we speak in generalities or in small talk. We resort to those guarded responses or those guarded questions. But we don't connect with one with another. Now, nobody expects you to connect with a stranger on the street. Nobody expects you to go out and tell them your life story and open yourself up to them. Certainly that is not something that is accepted. But yet, why do we guard ourselves in the same fashion with our husbands and with our wives? Why are we so afraid to connect in communication unto them? Sometimes it's because we're lazy. To be honest, we just don't want to. It's hard. It takes work. It takes forethought, like that being intentional. The man we mentioned about, his wife and calling her maybe during the day or thinking on his way home about how he can intentionally show her that she is important to him when he gets home. Or, like we talked about last week with intimacy, it takes work to be involved that deeply with another individual. Sometimes we're just lazy. Sometimes we just want to have a one-word response, be done with it so that we can spend more time on what we want. or more time on what we desire. And certainly we find that happening in our lives very often. Sometimes it's because we're prideful. To be honest, sometimes we don't want to communicate because we're too proud of an individual, if you will, and we don't think we need to connect with this individual. We don't think we need to give them the 30 seconds of eye contact. I've been noticing this more and more of recent times. If you make direct eye contact with someone while you talk to them, they don't know what to do. They really don't. I mean, even if it's just for 10 seconds, they're finding some way. Most people, not all people, but that's a sign of how we avoid communicating and connecting with other individuals. We are not good at it. And I find myself falling into that habit of looking everywhere around while you're talking to someone and should be connecting with them and focusing on them at that moment. And so we need to get better at things like that if we're going to have good relationships and good marriages. Sometimes it's because we're afraid of getting hurt. We don't want to put it out there. We don't want to tell someone else how we feel. So that is why when we come in and say hi to each other, we say, "How you doing?" And sometimes we don't even answer the question because there's no communication there. It's just a platitude. It's just a lot of times just something that we say without the connection. And certainly we can see that in individuals that don't know each other very well, but how does that really help in our relationships at home with our wives, husbands, and children, with those that we should be the closest to? And because God has given us the gift of language, we above all have a greater responsibility to commune one with the other. Think about the root word of communication is commune. It is the act of expressing ourselves in order that we might share ideas or feelings, create connection one with another. I mean, that's really what is at the heart of it. Communication means the successful sharing of ideas or feelings, the means of connection between people. Now notice the word successful. Communication is the successful sharing of ideas or feelings. The word commune means to share one's intimate thoughts or feelings, be in close emotional contact with. And you say, "Man, that makes me feel uncomfortable. Man, I don't like that." But that's exactly how we are to be with God. That's what we need to be desiring. And if we shy away from it like it's the plague here upon the earth with people we can see, with people we can touch, with our husbands and wives who we are the closest to on this earth, if we shy away from it there, how can we draw close to God and commune with Him whom we cannot see, whom we cannot experience with this body in that sense? As bad as we are at communicating with each other, we are really as bad or worse at communicating with God. What's the first thing that comes to mind when throughout the thought of communicating with God? What's the first thing that you think of? For most of you tonight, the answer is prayer. Of course, prayer is communication with God, and it is. Prayer is communication with God, and a big part of it. Prayer is how we express ourselves to God. But I want you right now to think about communication in the same way we thought about worship this morning. You have the worship that is scheduled. You have the worship that is, say, on the calendar, where we purpose to meet together and where we purpose to do a certain act. And then you have the worship that is spontaneous and every day. Think about communication that way. Prayer is that intentional and sometimes in some way scheduled act of connecting and communicating with God. Now I hope that all of us have some kind of habit or schedule even of prayer, where in the morning we pray to God, in the evening, maybe before bed, we pray to God. That's communicating. But let us not think that communicating with God stops there. Because really, since the Spirit of God dwells within us, our connection with and communicating with God never really ends. Though prayer is a determined and intentional act of communicating with God, what about the thoughts and intents of our heart? What about the desires of our heart and our soul as we go through each and every day? Is that not also communication? What about, as David says here in verse number 14, he said, let the words of my mouth and what? The meditation of my heart. Meditation is communication with God. Meditation, and by that we mean you're not necessarily engaged in the act of speaking words to God in prayer, but your heart, your mind, your soul, your entire being is engaged in the thought of God, engaged in the approach to God, in connection to God. And so we need to see that if we are to have intimacy with God, if we're to worship Him effectively and in a godly manner, then we have to communicate with God on a more intentional, a more intimate way. We have to be able to show Him who we are. And you say, of course, He knows. Yes, He does. But again, does He know because He knows everything, or does He know because we bring ourselves to Him? Lay ourselves open and bare and show it all to God. There is more than what we usually think of in communication with God to it than just our habits of prayer. Let's connect with God each and every day, all throughout the day, with the thoughts and the intents of our heart, with the meditation of our souls upon the things of God. We do not need to be afraid to direct ourselves to communicate with God. And a lot of times we are. We're afraid of being open. Remember I said there are three things that sometimes it's because we're afraid. We don't like to communicate with people. But we need to get over that. Sometimes it's because we're prideful. And that certainly applies with God. We don't like Him to, or we don't like to think about communicating with God about the bad in our life, or about the sin in our life, or about who we really are. We like to hide that. Communicate with God about it. Or we don't like to communicate with God because we're lazy. And let's be honest, sometimes that's the problem too. And so, as we flip back to Psalm 18, we notice in the first verse and in the last two verses of this psalm that we read this morning, they are both direct communications from David unto God. Again, we notice that in verse number 1, he is directly speaking to God. And then in verse 2, he begins to speak to God as if others are listening. So instead of addressing God by, as he says in verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. We see in verse number 2, he says, the Lord is my rock. So you see how it kind of changes for him. But we see the communication here in verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Again, in verse number 49, he says, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Now, I don't mean to suggest that the rest of the psalm is not communication with God. It certainly is. But you can see how that David was not afraid to approach God with the words of his mouth, with the meditation of his heart, and communicate, connect himself with God in a very real, in a very honest way. And we need to be like that. How is your communication with God? When's the last time you even thought about it? It's the last time it even crossed your mind. In order to communicate, here are six things that need to happen. And we apply these both to our earthly relationships and to our relationship with God as it relates to worship. First of all, in order to have communication, or in order to communicate with another individual or with God, we must be present. We must be present. We must be present in the moment where we are. We must be focused on the one that we are communicating with instead of off thinking about or considering something else. And we find this hard. I mean, just in the way we most often think of communication with God, prayer, how hard is it to stay present in the moment and focus ourselves entirely on God? It's hard. The flesh wants to wander. The mind wants to work and drag us away to something else. And we struggle with that. And I know that I do. I know we all do. And we need to give our best to it, because when you're talking to another individual, you don't like that feeling, do you? The feeling like if you stop talking, they wouldn't even notice, because they're thinking about something else. That happens a lot of times with our kids. You're going on about something, and they think it's from the 80s, so they don't even want to, you know, think about it, you know, because it's just, they're gone. They're thinking about something else. And you feel like you could stop talking and they wouldn't care. Sadly, it happens a lot of times in marriages. You know, the wife says, let's talk, and the man gets afraid. He doesn't want to open himself up. He's worried about what's going to happen. And so he doesn't engage. He doesn't focus. He's not present in the moment. We need to be present if we are going to communicate. We have to be. Whether that's in meditation, whether that's in prayer, whether that's in the moments we're driving down the road and our heart is overwhelmed with praise to God and song, we have to be present if we're going to connect with God. We also have to be open. We have to be open. We have to be vulnerable. We have to peel away the barriers of protection that we naturally put up. We talked about barriers last week as it related to intimacy. And this is true for communication too. You have to be open. You have to be open to hearing, as we're going to see in just a moment, get ahead of myself, but you have to be open to giving of yourself to the other person, realizing that they want to know you in a better, deeper, fuller way. And then staying connected, staying present, and peeling away those barriers. Don't deflect the conversation with small talk and platitudes. We do that even in regards to our conversations with God. We deflect. We turn to phrases that we say a lot instead of really getting to the heart of the matter that is needing to be said or thought about or meditated on, whether it's planned or whether it's spontaneous. We need to be authentic. We need to also have a desire to hear. James chapter 1 in verse number 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In order to communicate, there has to be the desire to hear. Has to be. The definition of communication had to do with the successful sharing of emotions, ideas, or thoughts, you know, of the heart. Successful. In order for it to be successful, it takes two sides at work. It takes one person giving, one person receiving, one person speaking, one person talking. It can't work if both are talking. It can't work if both are trying to listen and nothing's being said. Though there may be a time for that in our, in our earthly relationships. We need to be ready to hear what God has to say to us. Are you ready to hear? First response, yeah, I'm ready to hear what God has to say. Are you really ready to hear? Are you really? There was a time when God sent Nathan unto David and he told him a story about a man that stole some sheep from a poor peasant. And David said, you know, require it of him, take it of him, take his life. And then David heard from God. Nathan said, you are the man. We are not always ready to hear from God, but we need to be. We need to be ready to hear what he has to say. That's part of our successful communication with God. We also need to be authentic in our communication. Don't put on airs. Don't guard ourselves. Don't put on different personalities. To do this, you have to know yourself. Be willing to show yourself to others and to God. I mean, we can't hide from Him anyway, but we try. Be authentic. Open yourself up to the searchings, as we talked about last week. We also have to have a desire to learn, a desire to grow in the relationship, a desire to understand more about whoever it is we're communicating with. And when we think about our relationship with God, there is no end to that, is there? There's no end at all. We just continue to learn, continue to grow. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to be desiring to grow in grace and in knowledge in our relationship with God. Connecting to Him means desiring to know more through communication. It takes that desire for it to happen. You have to know, and there is no end to finding him out. And then the last one, there has to be a desire to connect. We've been using that word, but it has to be there. You can't have communication that is coerced, not really. You might have the form of it. You might have the look of it. You might get some information exchanged on some level, but not real communing. Not real sharing of intimate thoughts and feelings. Desire to connect with God. Commune with Him. It's a wonderful thing. And so we need to be working on that in our lives. And that is, of course, being intentional in prayer, drawing unto Him in intimacy, but also just the thoughts and intents of our heart. And by heart, I mean, of course, that new heart that God has given us, not this old heart of flesh that we know rises up, or from which rises up sin and depravity. But that heart that God has given us that beats after His things. Let us connect with God in that way through communication. Now, to conclude our thoughts here this evening, I want you to think about three words or phrases. I said three, I meant four. That we need to remove from our vocabulary. Three words, or four phrases or words that we need to remove. Again, applying both to our earthly relationships, but also our relationships with God. Now understand that some of these things are not words or phrases that we will say in audible tones to God directly. But they will be the phrases or words that are on our heart, that dwell within us, and that automate our response sometimes to what God says to us. You have that. You've experienced that. You know, there are certain phrases that if my wife says to me, automatically my response is to, think, well, you know, she's upset, or I've done something to hurt her, or whatever it is. We have those automated things. And so we need to evaluate that in our life. We need to remove these things and things like them. Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 20. The first word or phrase that we need to remove from our relationship language with God and with our fellow man and our marriages and with our children is, I'm busy. Busy, busy, busy. And if you read here in 1 Kings chapter 20, it didn't work out too well for this man. And if we're honest, it never really works out too well for us. Being busy for the sake of being busy, and I'll qualify this by saying there are times when we all are necessarily busy. That's the case. For seasons in our lives, we all are overwhelmed with the details thereof by necessity. Even sometimes by God's own design, we are covered up and we are overwhelmed. But when the position of our life is, I'm busy, and we don't have anything else other than that, then there's perhaps a problem. 1 Kings chapter 20, just read here in verse number 40, a servant was given the instruction to look after a prisoner, to keep him. 1 Kings chapter 20. Let's read verse 39. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, Thy servant went out into the midst of the battle. Behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, So shall be thy judgment, thyself hast decided it. We see that this servant was busy. He was busy instead of being focused on the task at hand, what he was asked to do. Being busy at times is thought to command respect, but it's not the same necessarily as being productive. In fact, it is often the opposite, and often leads to the opposite of being productive. There is a trap in busyness that leads to self-perpetuating decisions, self-perpetuating cycles. And really what it does is that it restricts us from fully connecting with and communicating with God as we think about worship, but also with our spouses, with our children, and with those here upon the earth that we need to connect with. Busyness cannot be part of our language. And if you think about it, a lot of times we use that phrase. So what I want you to do is remove it completely from your vocabulary. Start with this next week. Remove that phrase, remove that thought from your vocabulary. And when somebody asks you to do something, when God lays something on your heart, or when your spouse asks you for this or for that, and your normal response would have been, I'm busy. Instead of that, remove that from your vocabulary and you explain why. And what does it force you to do? It forces you to connect. It forces you to explain. And perhaps it is impossible because of what's going on in your life at the moment, but it forces you to connect. It forces you to be more authentic with your fellow man, with your spouse, and also with God. Much of our time, or much of this time, we don't actually say this in prayer to God. I mean, when's the last time you told God, well, I'm too busy for that? But it's the natural position sometimes of our heart, isn't it? In our just day to day, hour by hour, moment by moment, passive, I'll call it, communication with God, when He speaks to us through the Spirit, our first response is, I've got too much happening. Before we can even think about it. Before we can even consider it or connect with God in some way about it, that is what we do. And so busyness leads to a lack of connection, a lack of intimacy, and it truly leads to a lack of worship both in our personal daily lives and when we assemble together on the Lord's Day. It hinders relationships. It hurts. And so we need to be careful in that. And it's a perpetuating cycle, because when you tell someone you're so busy you can't, all of a sudden they want to be so busy they can't. Because for some reason they think that they're, you know, doing less than they should be. And so it is a very detrimental thing. We need to be careful in this. There may be busyness for a season, but we shouldn't let it take over our lives and limit our communication with God in any way. Secondly, another phrase or word that we need to remove from our relationship with God and with our fellow man upon this earth is the phrase, whatever. Whatever. So often this is our response to God when He convicts us of sin or talks to us about service. When we are reading His Word and are meditating, sometimes it irritates us because all of a sudden God expects something else of us. Now, He always expected it. He's just bringing it to your attention. And so through this communication, God is going to speak to your heart. He is going to show you things in your life to improve, to change, to alter. He's going to call you to service. He is going to speak to you in a variety of ways. And a lot of times, our response is whatever. Have you ever said that or heard that said in your relationships? You ever had an argument or a discussion, with your loved one end, and they just dismiss you and say, whatever, you know. And really what we're saying is, you know, what you have to say isn't important right now. What I have to say and what I think is more important. And so while we might not say whatever to God, the phrases instead are, well, I know the Bible says, but whatever. Or I know the Lord really wants me to, whatever. And we go on like that. And communication suffers. Relationship suffers when we act on that or act in that fashion. Let us eliminate this from our vocabulary in whatever way it manifests itself. Practice that. Don't get into that habit. And if you are, strive your best to get out of it. We need to not dismiss what His Word says. And there are some things, if we're all honest, we know the Bible speaks to us about, and we just dismiss. And we say, well, I'm doing most everything okay or right, and I'll just dismiss this. In fact, we're saying whatever, right, to the face of God. Whatever His Spirit says. The Spirit has come, and John says, to lead us into all truth. Don't dismiss the Spirit. Or say whatever. And whatever His Son says as well, we need to listen to. And we need to not dismiss in any way what God has to say to us. It is all important. It is all important and will be for our benefit and for our growing closer to God and for our benefit of our own lives as well. And then thirdly, we need to limit the negative expression of absolutes. And these come in the form of saying, well, you always or you never. And the example, of course, in marriage, you know, wife might say, well, you never take out the trash. And I can almost guarantee you that if you say that to your husband, and it may be completely true that he never takes out the trash, he is not going to be in the mood or he is not going to be in the right frame of mind and heart to communicate with you about it. And we find ourselves doing the same things with God. We often allow our communication with God to lean towards the blame game. And again, this may not be directly in prayer, but again, the passive communication of our heart to God may be to blame Him. Adam did it in the garden, didn't he, with Eve? Blame God. I was thinking about Hannah as she was suffering the terrible attacks of Penuel, her husband's other wife, because she was barren. You know, she wanted to know why God hadn't opened her womb. You know, there's that kind of thinking. You always, you never. We blame the limitations that God puts upon us. We allow our communication to be negative because of what God expects of us, or sometimes because we never see Him work in a certain way. I think Baptist churches are so guilty of this. Because we'll think, well, nobody ever walks the aisle. The Lord never works in that way or whatever. We are putting that negative expression of absolute upon, upon our righteous, holy God who knows everything and is never wrong and certainly knows what is best for us and everything. Eliminate that. Eliminate that in whatever form it takes. In your heart, in your direct prayer communication to God, in your passive heart communication to God, in your communication to your parents, to your children, to your spouses, stop using that expression and see your communication and your communing one with another grow. And then lastly, if you'll turn over to Psalm 73, the last one is not so much a word or a phrase we use directly, but something we do, and that is comparison. In our earthly relationships, it may sound like, well, why can't you be more like so-and-so? Why can't you act more like that husband or that wife? Why can't you act more like that kid or that parent? We think like that. Sometimes as churches, we're like, well, why can't we be more like them? Why doesn't God work like that here? Why don't we see those things unfolding, whatever it may be? Psalm 73, verse number 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Asaph is the writer of this psalm instead of David. And he looked around and he compared his life to the heathen, to the evil ones that lived without any respect to God, and they had more than heart could wish, he says later in the psalm. He desired their life and he said, why can't I have the things that they have? Why can't God give me those things? No matter who or what we are comparing ourselves to, this is never a profitable thing. The only one that we are ever invited or commanded to compare ourselves to is Jesus Christ. That's it. And we do have those that we use for encouragement and examples. And that's fine. But when we start this idea of comparing in this fashion with God, it's not good for anybody. And really, it tells us more about our heart than anything else. Think about Israel. Israel did this to the nations around them. They ended up with King Saul, didn't they? They further did this as they saw the gods that the other nations had, and they said, why can't we have gods like that? You know what? They ended up with gods like that, and then they ended up being carried away captive by Assyria and by Babylon, and only partially returned. God made you just the way that you are. Don't ever use that as an excuse for why you're not growing or getting better, but also understand that God has made you exactly who you are. He has placed you exactly where He wants you to be. He has called you to be exactly what He wants you to be. He loved you. He saved you. He cares for you. He provides for you each day. Stop comparing yourself to other people. Stop looking at their lives. Stop looking at their a place that God has put them to serve. Stop looking at whatever you think God has blessed them with. Because the truth is, you never have the whole story. You never do. It is never what you think. What you want is never. It's the grass is greener kind of thing, I suppose. But we need to stop comparing and asking God, or having the thought of our heart being, God, why can't you do that for me? Why can't I be more like this? Or why can't I be more like that? And so on and so forth. These are some words, phrases, and things that we need to eliminate from our communication with God. And in doing so, we will draw closer unto Him. Now again, we have those that encourage us and those that can be an example. But let us not, in this negative way, compare ourselves to, you know, really, it either leads us to thinking too much or too little of ourselves when that happens. And that's never a good thing. Compare yourself to Christ, and that's it. So communication, it has a lot to do with worship. If we're not communicating with God, we're not worshiping God day to day. If we're not worshiping God day to day, then we're not worshiping God when we come together. Our heart needs to be in constant communication with Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, what does it tell us? It tells us to pray without ceasing. I believe that's really what this is about. Constant communication with God in a positive way. In a open and honest and real, vulnerable way. In a way that we desire to know more of Him and open ourselves up more to Him. We do every day, both passively and intentionally, communicate with God. Moment by moment, day by day. Let us take this seriously. Let us think about our own relationship with God. Let us examine it. And let us desire to connect more and more with God. Don't expect God to do all the work. Don't expect God to make it just so that it happens. None of that is how communication and relationship works. It doesn't take place that way. But instead, open yourself up in communication to God and see the benefits, see the blessings, see the rewards of it. Let's stand while